Global markets appear to be on a positive footing today, with European markets ending the day firmly in positive territory, up over 2% on the day. US markets have started well in the black. They're trading up around 1.7% currently. The All Share Index ended the day flattish, basically down 0.01% to close at 49,184 index points. The financial counters did well on the day, however. They were up about 2.3%. Gold mining counters, not so great. They were down 4.7%, with the resources counters down 1.74%. Industrials up 0.32%. The local currency is somewhat firmer. It's trading around 18.38 against the US dollar, 19.94 vis-a-vis the euro, and 22.89 against the British pound. Question is, can they stay at those lower levels relative to those major currencies? Well, to break down the markets for us, I'm joined on the line by Nissan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much for joining us, Nissan. So the markets are looking not exactly shooting the lights out, but they're generally firmer. We've kind of closed flat. What's going on?
Yeah, good evening, Number, and to the listeners as well. I think you put it very well. Not shooting the lights out like it did in the last few weeks, and for the month of April. It's been a little bit quieter, I think, in the last three trading sessions, actually. I remember Friday was a holiday. And I think the initial response was positive towards the, and I'm talking globally, towards the easing of lockdowns in a lot of countries. And then, of course, news flow that, Trump was escalating things with China, I think, causing Asian markets to sell off a little bit. And we haven't quite shrugged off that negative sentiment. I mean, today it wasn't a great day, starting off. It ended up flat for the day, but I think it was largely because U.S. markets seem to have picked up as well.
What's going on with the oil price? I mean, it's had a really rough time, but leaping today. What's going on?
12% almost up today, and Brent, we're over $30 a barrel. Can you believe it? Not so long ago, we were below $20. So all over the show, the oil price. I think anticipation of the global economy starting to get back to work is injecting some positive sentiment into the oil price right now. But I think the market, the trading levels are just so thin. I think a lot of the real money traders are still, not taking positions one way or the other. And that's why you're seeing, such a huge spike in volatility on the oil price. But certainly going in the right direction for a lot of companies like Safo, for example. I think they're going to need a much higher oil price, to pull them out of their current position.
Yes. Would you invest in Sasol?
We haven't really increased our investment. We've been, Sasol's one of those shares where I think, it's a cornerstone of many private client portfolios just because it gives you sort of a natural rand hedge exposure to the oil price. But, ever since they had problems in Lake Charles, we've been staying off. I mean, we haven't really increased our position substantially. And I think it's too early to do that right now. Still question marks as to, the Lake Charles project, which is a heavily debt-funded project that they still have to prove themselves on. And, of course, the current oil price of $30, Sasol doesn't make money. Nobody's making money.
Yeah.
In fact, almost 50% of all oil producers throughout the world are losing money at $30 a barrel. So I think you're going to have to wait until some sort of improvement comes in or some sort of normality on the demand curve sets in before you look at these things.
The economy operating at level 4, does it give any inspiration at all?
It's a fraction of workers came back this week. It's only, about 1.5 million people. It still feels, on the streets, not that I'm out there that often, it still much like it's level 5 lockdown. I think a lot of companies, due to the the cost of implementing a lot of the government guidelines for reopening, have decided that where possible, employees that can work from home should continue to work from home. A lot of people have opted, whether they may actually be returning to work, have opted to limit the number of people that come in. So I think the people are still very concerned because the the infection hasn't really hit South Africa yet, if you think about it, you know.
It's true.
We just watch the news and what's happening all over the world, and I think people are just very concerned right now, and I don't think, you know, too keen on going back to work. Of course, the impact on the economy is disastrous.
It is.
We saw Comair file for business rescue today, which means we've got two big airlines. I don't know how many percent that is of the South African airline industry, but well over 50% of South Africa's airline industry is in business rescue.
Yeah, I was going to ask you specifically about Comair. I mean, they appear to be one of the stronger airliners in South Africa. I mean, despite buying those dodgy aircraft from Boeing, you know, apart from that, and of course, for like 70 years, they had registered a profit before, you know, obviously the economy and the Boeing contracts messed them up. So what exactly is wrong with them?
Nampu, I think it puts into perspective just how hand-to-mouth the airline industry is. You know, Warren Buffett recently sold off his exposure to airlines. You know, they do exceptionally well when they've got a low oil price and a buoyant economy. But right now, even though the oil price is so low, you know, because they're all grounded, there's no revenue coming. There's a high fixed cost element to these airlines. And even those that can operate efficiently, you know, are not given the opportunity to operate, still has to maintain those high fixed costs. You know, you've got interest on loans, you've got staff salaries that need to be paid, you've got contracts with suppliers. You know, the margins are so paper thin on this, you really cannot afford, you know, to shut down for, you know, even a week or 2 weeks, let alone 6 weeks. So I think that's what's hurt them. And I think prudent and doing the right thing, you know, to try and protect the interests of all stakeholders by going into business rescue. I'm sure, you know, there'll be some sort of support for them. I mean, Bidvest is a big shareholder there. You know, I'm sure it's not as bad as what it reads.
Yeah.
But still very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
So for people who do hold Comair shares and are disappointed to learn that they've stopped trading and they're in business rescue, you think that they still have a fighting chance of coming back, but perhaps leaner and meaner?
I think they'll need to. You know, interestingly enough, Bidvest was looking to dispose of this interest. And actually appointed a few people to the board of Comair to try and help them because they were having problems even before COVID-19. So, you know, I'm sure shareholders that do have exposure, the share closed, it was trading at about 1 rand, you know, before it got suspended. So, you know, I'm sure there's some value to be obtained from it. It's been around a long time, but they'll need the support of big shareholders like Bidvest. I think they're fortunate to have a big white knight sort of shareholder like Bidvest in these times.
Yeah.
So I expect them to come back, but as you say, you know, a lot leaner and meaner.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Nissan, for your time as always. That was Nissan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities.